You're listening to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, where each week we share stories and expertise from business owners like you, plus experts, influencers, and Larissa's actionable steps that will transform your business and your life. And now your host, Larissa McLemon.
Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Join me today in this episode. I'm speaking with Instagram guru and online marketing obsessor, Tracy Harris. You may know her from the iconic brand Mums with Hustle. She works closely with women who want to make an impact on the world without compromising their freedom. Tracy shares how to approach Instagram with a clear intention that will get results. Listen in as we discuss everything from creating a successful brand on Instagram to the importance of humanizing your brand. I look forward to seeing you in this episode. Tracy, thank you so much for joining me on the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Super pleased to have you here today.
Oh my goodness, Larissa, the pleasure is all mine. Thank you so much for inviting me on.
You're very welcome. Well, let's start with where are you in the world and tell us a little bit about what you do and how you got to be doing that.
Okay. Well, I'm actually based an hour out of Sydney in Australia. I have been running my online business, Mums with Hustle, for 3 years now. I can't believe it. It feels like I started yesterday. I very much still feel stuck in the trenches of the startup world most of the time. But I think that's great because it keeps me humble and it allows me to connect on a real level with my audience. So my soulmate clients are mums that are growing and scaling drop-dead gorgeous businesses that help them have the impact on the world that they want to have, but also gives them a life by design. So that, you know, whether that's time freedom or whether that is, you know, being able to go out and help charities, organizations, whatever their dream life looks like to them, that's what it is about. So I'm absolutely obsessed with online marketing. I believe that the potential is just untapped and it's just incredible. Gone are the days where we just have to rely on referral-based business or brick and mortar and foot traffic coming past. I just think we have this we live in an amazing time, Larissa, where we can have a global audience and therefore our impact can be so much bigger. So I am obsessed with online marketing and in particular Instagram as a platform to connect with your online audience. So as I said, I've been doing this for 3 years and in that time I've interviewed well over 150 entrepreneurs. I have taught thousands of women, small business owners, entrepreneurs, bloggers, all about Instagram marketing and online marketing. And I have actually analyzed hundreds upon hundreds of Instagram accounts with a service that I used to have called an Instagram audit. So I'm so confident I can pretty much help anyone in any niche when it comes to marketing their brand on Instagram.
Fantastic. Look, there's so many great things about what you said that really resonate with me, which I love. And first of all, Instagram is a great connect with hair and beauty salon owners because it's the number one platform that we should be marketing on. So I'm super excited to be diving into that. But the couple of things that really resonated with me and why I was really keen to have you, Tracy, was helping women make more impact on the world without compromising their freedom is something that I want to do. And so I feel we're really aligned in that space, and particularly for mums, but being a mum myself, you know, I've had several business burnouts when I had my own business. And that was even before the kids came. And then the kids come into the mix and everything has to change. You have to change the whole way that you approach business and that you do things, so you can be present for both of your babies, which is business and the real babies. So I'm really excited to have you and to hear your areas of expertise, I guess. So thank you.
Yeah, and no, I'm excited to speak about that too, because motherhood and entrepreneurship just brings like a whole different perspective. Mm. You know, and there was a time when I first started in the early days that people couldn't understand why I really had niched to the audience of mums in particular. And I'm really happy to help any business owner out there. Like, yeah, male, female, mums, not mums. Like, I'm just happy to help all business owners. But I feel like mothers in particular, like especially new mums, it's such a vulnerable, fragile time in our lives, and it's a big transition in itself. And then so many of us didn't start out being entrepreneurial. So we've started out having corporate careers, and then we've had that transition into, you know, just reinventing yourself, basically, a lot of people, or maybe taking your trade that you did do and turning that into, you know, a digital version of that business, and what does that look like? So it's just a really interesting time, and I enjoy speaking so much about mindset and the psychology of mothers and entrepreneurship, because things like mother guilt, it's just so real. That feeling of overwhelm, I just can't stand the word balance. I don't believe it exists, especially for women operating businesses out of home and raising and feeding babies and not even sleeping through the night for years on end. It's just absolute BS to me. I'm all about integration. I'm all about creating your life by design first, and then a business model that gives you that life by design, but gives you that huge impact that maybe you didn't even know you could have on the world.
Yeah. No, I hear you. And, you know, layer another challenge on top of that of now having a team of salon owners, I mean, a team of staff for a salon owner, and yeah, you've got your family at home, and plus you've got this other, what I'm going to call a bunch of kids, this other family that, you know, are just as needy. It can be really challenging to get back to the place where you want to be, which is making the impact and making a change and doing those entrepreneurial things. It often gets bumped to last. So,
yeah, so true.
Challenging times. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, look, I'm really keen to hear about Instagram, because that is your background. What did you do prior to be doing these Instagram audits? Tell us how you got to be the Instagram expert for mums.
Okay. Well, I basically took to Instagram straight away as my core marketing platform, with the purpose of building an online tribe and having those people become raving fans of my podcast, the Mums with Hustle podcast, which is my core, I guess, my core content platform. It's the way that I serve my community with incredible free value and with the inspirational stories of other women who are absolutely kicking butt in whatever business niche they are in. So Instagram was a way for me to build this audience and then lead them to the podcast, and nurture them and love on them that way. So I just saw the opportunity with Instagram in, you know, late 2014, early 2015, as this place that was really indie, like it was kind of underground even. There were some brands popping up on Instagram, and I was just blown away. At the time, there were no business accounts or anything like that. Everyone was just personal profile. There was no Instagram stories. No one knew what an influencer was. The term mummy blogger hadn't even really been thrown around, or maybe it was just emerging. So it was a completely different climate, but I just saw the potential there for marketing and connecting on a very human level with my audience. So I started there, and I very quickly figured out what works, what doesn't work. And before I knew it, I had my audience not only tuning in to listen to the podcast to hear about my own business startup ventures and to learn from the women I was interviewing in between as well, but they started to ask me how I'm using Instagram, because they were business owners, but they weren't using it in the same way that I was, and they were noticing my growth, and I was just using it in a very different way. So I built my platform pretty much for a good year before I ever even created any type of offer or any income stream for my audience. And that may seem really backwards to a lot of people. It's my preferred way of starting a business, because I don't subscribe to that belief of build it and they will come. It doesn't matter how great a product is. It doesn't matter how fancy your website is. If you don't have an audience, if you're not obsessed with them, if you don't truly know what it is that they want, then you're going to find it so much harder to actually ever sell anything, whether it's your service or a product. So for me, I really wanted to get obsessed with my audience, learn everything I could about them, and kind of have them dictate to me what they really want me to help them with. And then I built that thing, and it was actually my Instagram course, #hustle. That was the first thing. I've launched that 3 times, and it's absolutely amazing. I love the students that I have in that program and the alumni that we have. But I've launched several digital products like ebooks along the way as well, and then the Instagram audit service as well. People were really not just wanting to learn Instagram from me, but they were wanting my feedback on what they were doing, and they wanted my strategy eye, and they wanted suggestions of how they can make improvements. So that's what we did for about a year. We did the Instagram audits, and just recent, and I also did private coaching, but as my business evolved, I found out, while it was amazing, Larissa, that I was permanently booked out for a very high ticket price and service, the audit and the coaching, I wasn't feeling fulfilled by that, because my mission is to serve and help as many women as I can. And it was breaking my heart to turn people away and say, no, I can't help you. And that just wasn't scalable. So I pivoted into a membership style marketing academy, where I'm teaching Instagram as part of a wider digital strategy. So how to like truly use Instagram as an entrepreneur, not just being on Instagram, staying on Instagram. It's how it ties into email marketing, Facebook groups, a blog, a podcast, all of that stuff. It's essentially my success roadmap for building an online business that gives you this life that you want and the impact that you want. So that is where I'm at now. It's called the Social Method Society. We have only had one launch of that just a few months ago. We opened up the doors beta style, and over 300 women put their hands up to join us for this monthly academy. But yeah, I'm excited. We're going to reopen the doors again and welcome some more ladies.
Awesome. So before we were jumped on the call, we had a quick chat about something really interesting that you said to me, and that was about having a business account, not a personal account. Tell me a little bit about why that's important. I'll leave you to explain.
Well, I just want to demystify that there are still some rumors floating around, Larissa, on the blogosphere that business accounts get lower reach from Instagram, and that's just completely not true. So please just disregard all of those things. It's great to be a business account because, number one, you just look way more professional. You look like a business, not like someone that's just like a hobbyist that can't be taken seriously. So if you want to be seen as a business then, or an entrepreneur, then please switch to business just for that fact. But business accounts get access to other things as well, like potentially running ads or promotions on Instagram, whether that's in people's feeds or in Instagram stories. You get access to other contact buttons on your profile, so email buttons, call buttons. You get access to shopping tabs if you have a store connected to your business. What else do you get? Oh, my goodness. You get access to swipe up in Instagram stories once you hit 10,000. Followers. You also get access to amazing insights and analytics. And this is what I really encourage my students to do, is to not just be putting out content without a plan or without a strategy. And the insights provide so much great information when it comes to the content that your audience actually wants to see from you. So it removes all of that guesswork. So yeah, there's some of the reasons I love the business account.
So tell me this, because in the hair and beauty world, often the individual stylist, whether it's an employee or the owner or an educator, an influencer, may have the business and have a business account, but also may have a personal account, which of course a lot of businesses derive from. So you're suggesting that both should be a business account?
If you are an influencer and you're sharing, like, if your aim is to be, is to ever monetize that and turn that into a business, then I would say flick to a business account.
Okay. Yeah. So if there are still some cases where you might stay as a personal account.
I do have a personal account for myself, but okay, really that is just strictly personal. Like, I'm not sharing value in my captions. It's just person to person type of content. It's just lots of mummy spam. I share my boys, little tidbits about my life. There's just, it really is just for the family and friends and any of my followers, I guess, over in my business account that have a particular interest into my everyday life. But yeah, you can head over and check that one out. But that, even my bio, it links to my business account. It says who I am. I'm Tracy Harris, married, two boys, da-da-da, CEO at Mums with Hustle. So I've linked to myself in that bio just to make that clear distinction that my personal account is really just personal. And if you want to follow me as Tracy the entrepreneur, then you need to be over at Mums with Hustle.
Yeah, okay. Now that makes sense. I think that's really good to clarify that so there's no confusion around that.
Yeah.
I think gone are the days of people having one account even in any case. My son already has five different accounts. Can I believe it?
That's great.
But I think, you know, in the business world, we do have stylists who, it is the way that they capture clients. And so they are building a professional following that may or may not be also their personal following. So I think, like you say, how to determine that is if you are wanting to attract clients and monetize that, then it should be a business account.
Totally. Yep. Turn it into a business account. Even if you are, if you're building a personal brand at the end of the day, it's a business. So make the switch.
Yep. Okay. Great advice. All right. Tell us a little bit about knowing your purpose. Again, something we chatted about before we jumped on the call. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, when I touched on, you know, how I started out on Instagram, it was about building an authentic tribe of absolute dream, soulmate, clients, customers, followers, listeners. And the purpose was, the purpose of my Instagram, in terms of my digital strategy, was to drive people to my podcast and to really grow this listenership. So I encourage any business owner out there to really know their purpose of why they are on Instagram as it sits in their digital marketing strategy. So if it is a list building tool for you, okay, then that's going to inform a completely different strategy as compared to someone that might be using Instagram to get in front of potential customers, and therefore they're going to want the call button at the top of their profile, and they're going to have a completely different Instagram bio compared to someone who's just using it to build an email list, compared to someone who's using it to get people to sign up to their program or their course. So really know your purpose, because that's going to inform what you put in your bio, and it's also going to inform the content that you share and all of the calls to action that you use in your captions. They always need to be heading towards fulfilling that purpose.
Okay. It sounds so simple yet not so obvious at the same time. I think we miss that often.
Yeah.
Clarity of what actually with purpose and what we're what action are we trying to drive our potential customers to take?
Totally. And it is simple, but I understand that, like, business owners can just get so caught up in just being present on Instagram that sometimes they're just putting up a post and they're trying to put together a caption and they lose that intention behind, you know, why am I actually posting this? What is the purpose? Is this actually going to help me build my email list, or is this actually going to drive traffic to my podcast? You know, or is this actually going to get someone to pick up the phone and book in for a consultation and become a new client? So it's all of those things. It's really about knowing your purpose, doing Instagram with intention. And while I'm all about the hustle, I don't think hustle needs to be hustling your face off without any purpose. It's about bringing a consciousness to the task. And that's what I think, again, motherhood, entrepreneurship, it's easy to feel overwhelmed with everything, but it's about bringing that consciousness to every task that you do, making sure that everything is purposeful in growing your business. And that includes how we show up on Instagram.
For sure. Would you say it's good practice to be actually having a really clear call to action on every single post?
Absolutely. You nailed it, Larissa. Every single post needs a call to action, whether it's double tap this post if you agree, or tag, you know, someone, tag a bestie, or click the link in my bio. It could be related to hit the call button now to book in. There's only 5 spots left. You know, there's so many different calls to action. Or send me a DM if you want to have a bit of a chat through some things. Like, there's so many ways that we can get our audience to take action. It's limitless.
I think that's great, because you've kind of given us permission to, it doesn't just have to be the sale call to action. It's not just everything needs to be about book now, but take action, engage with me. I'm here, talk to me.
Yeah.
I wonder whether there is a barrier sometimes around asking for engagement when there's fear around whether people will take action out there and then nobody responds. What does that mean? Is this something that comes up a lot?
Yeah, it does come up a lot for the ladies that I work with. And if you scroll all the way back to the beginning of my Instagram days, I've left it there because it's proof that I started at zero. It's proof that I had very humble beginnings, that my calls to action went unnoticed sometimes, but you keep going. And you just, you can't give up, and you can't base your future business decisions off things that happened in your past. So if you've put a call to action out in the past and there were crickets and no one responded, and that really bruised your ego, and you felt so ashamed or embarrassed by that, that can't dictate your future action. Because if it does, well, guess what? You burnt your hand on the fire that one time, and now your brain has told you, that's not safe. I don't want to be that vulnerable. I'm never going to ask for that call to action again. And then what happens? Well, you just get more of the same result, more of no people engaging with you, and you just stay stuck. You stay there, and nothing is going to change. I always tell my ladies, I'm not here to coach you and say what you want me to say. I'm here to challenge you and just tell you the truth. So if you want different results, you need to keep showing up, and you need to act as the person in your business that has already achieved all of the things. You can't be acting as the person that was so hurt by that setback in the past.
Absolutely, because it keeps us in our past.
Yeah, it's like there's that saying, you know, if you want to know what your future looks like, look at yesterday. Like, if you just keep doing what you did yesterday, well, your future becomes very predictable. Like, you're just going to get more of yesterday. But if you actually, and that's fine if you're super content with yesterday. But if not, if you're someone that's like committed to a growth mindset and wanting to impact more lives, or just, you know, continually grow as a person and as an entrepreneur, then you need to be taking great strides forward. You need to be changing it up all the time and challenging yourself.
And be okay with 1 or 2 likes or 1 or 2 comments today, and aim for 3 tomorrow and maybe 4 the next day. I think one of the things I am mindful of, we do a lot of done for you marketing with our Salon Bot product. And one of the things I notice is kind of a mismatched or unrealistic expectation of results, because we're comparing ourselves to other people who have been doing it for a long time or a longer time. So, for example, I could hop onto your Instagram and say, oh, how come I don't have 28,000 followers, or and she gets, you know, 700 likes and I'm getting 3, but I'm sure you got 3 at the beginning. It's just that you're a few years ahead. Why do we do this? Why do we put ourselves through it?
I know, but you know, the exciting thing is that you can just choose to not do that. Like, you can change that story at any time. Yeah, I think that's a really unhealthy type of thing to do. It's like really not stepping into a place of service, and it's like just stepping into, it's letting your ego kind of rule what happens in your life and in your business. And yeah, it's all fear-based. And what I say to people when they get caught up on that is like, I have done over 1,500 Instagram posts. 1,500. Every single one with intention, every single one with thought out hashtags, captions, calls to action, every single one I've gone back and engaged with the people that have commented. I don't know how many live videos I've done, how many Instagram stories I've done. And one of my star students, like, she's coming up to a year since we did some intense coaching together. And when she first started with me, she had 0 followers. She'd barely had gotten herself an ABM or registered her business. And she's like close to 9,000 Instagram followers now after a year. But I look at how many posts again she's done, the value that she's done. She's going live almost every day or every second day on Instagram. She's on Instagram stories every day. And that's what it takes. And I just think it's really easy to look at someone and be like, oh, they've got this many followers, but we fail to see what it's taken, and we fail to even acknowledge the emotional story behind that and how many breakthroughs these people have had to have in order to put their face in front of a camera. Like, that takes a lot of inner work. Entrepreneurship, having a business, it's more of an inside job. We really have to do the mindset work, because otherwise you don't show up, and you can get thrown off your game when you see someone else has more higher engagement or more followers than you. And yeah, so I just think, don't just look at the numbers at face value. Think about all of the work and all of the bravery, all of the breakthroughs, the rejection that that person has experienced as well, and celebrate them. Because when you celebrate, when you can look at someone else and be like, oh my gosh, I'm not jealous. I'm like, high five, sister. That puts out positive feelings. And you're really saying to God and the universe, if that's possible for them, that's possible for me. And I'm excited. And just in doing that, your brain is hardwiring itself to create the same success for you. But when we look with like jealous gnashing teeth at people and we think, oh, I'm never going to get there, or that's not fair, or woe is me, it actually repels the very thing that you want from ever happening to you.
Amen.
Sorry, amen. I got a bit ranty.
No. Rant allowed, rant required. I think it's great, because I think, you know, we can get all a bit too caught up in ourselves, and it really stops us from doing the work that we need to be doing and showing up the way that we need to be showing up. But like you say, it's doing the inner work to get there.
Yeah, that's the hard part. I can teach anyone Instagram, but at the end of the day, if the inner work hasn't really been done, and the confidence isn't there and the self-doubt is louder than the mission and then your why and your purpose, then you're still gonna find it really hard to actually take action on the learning. So, yeah, putting yourself out there, like, it requires such bravery. Anyone that has a personal brand, anyone that's, like, creating anything and putting it out into the world, like, I applaud you, because it's no easy feat. It requires so much vulnerability and bravery.
Can we talk a little bit about that in terms of the person and the brand? Because I know that you have some thoughts around personal, you know, humanizing your brand. And I think one of the things that can be a block for the hair and beauty salon owners is we have this brand, aka the business brand, the bricks and the mortar, and then the humans that are inside it, and showing up and being a face of that brand, or, you know, sometimes getting caught in things that have to be very perfect before we put it out there, and the humans get lost, I think.
Yeah. And you know, it's really interesting because if I go into any type of beauty based brick and mortar store or business or salon, they're usually like, if there's one industry, like other than hospitality, if there's one industry where people love to talk and really build rapport fast, it's anyone in a beauty salon. Like, they're so great at building relationships fast, at making me feel really comfortable, and other clients I can like overhear little conversations happening, and it's almost like you're a counselor if you're in the beauty services.
That's right.
Like, yeah, there's this like, I don't know, it's just a really beautiful thing to experience as the client, and then to also hear and witness when I see it happening with other people. But that's the type of energy and the personal connection that you need to bring to your content on Instagram, whether it's through the posts that you're sharing on your grid, just starting conversations, asking people's opinions, all of that sort of thing is so welcome on the feed. And then showing up in Instagram stories, giving people behind the scenes, letting them know like what products you're loving, or sharing, you know, happy customers or the training that you're doing to upskill yourself. Like, people actually really do have a keen interest. But I really encourage business owners to humanize their brand, even just with two or three more personal elements of who they are as a person. So, for instance, I have an amazing friend. She's like an incredible entrepreneur. She's all about health, nutrition, and she has a great app where people can get 7 days worth of recipes like each week, and it's just phenomenal. But she doesn't only just share her recipes on her Instagram. Quite often, she's a cat lady, and she's got two really interesting looking cats. Like, I don't know the names of them, but they're the cats that are hairless, like completely bald.
Oh yeah. Oh yes.
Yeah. And her followers have really come to know and love her cats and their little personalities. And so they'll feature, you know, in one in six of her Instagram posts will kind of have her cats in there, or more of a lifestyle shot of her and her fiance. And the same type of thing in her Instagram stories, like, you know, she'll have the cats pop up and make a cameo, or her fiance will make a little cameo appearance every now and then, and you'll just get to see the relationship and the banter between them. So she's obviously selected those two areas of her personal life to bring into her brand. And if I use myself as an example, everyone knows I love coffee. Everyone knows that I'm addicted to smoothie bowls. So there's some things that I have chosen to bring into my business content, and just kind of share that part of myself. But people do get scared, Larissa, when they hear me say, oh, you need to put yourself more into your brand. But obviously, you know, the inner critic says mean things, and she's like, no one cares about you, or that's so lame, or like, that's too personal. No one wants to hear about your kids or whatever. And it does take a bit of trial and error with like choosing, you know, what parts of your everyday life that you want to share, but stick to two or three elements, whether it's your pets or the fact that you like love the beach or you're a runner or whatever it is, and kind of incorporate that into your brand story as such, because people buy from people, and it's how you stand out. These personal things that you share, they're connection points. So people often say to me, you know, they're not following me because I gave a really great Instagram tip. They're following me because I said that I have a guilty pleasure of keeping up with the Kardashians. You know, like that's a connection point. Yeah. Or they're following me because they love some of the clothes and like, you know, the places that I shop because I'm a mum of boys and so they love like the style stuff. So, you know, they're following, it's those personal things that form the connection person to person. It's not how expert you are. It's not how perfectly your caption was written. It's really the personal stuff, because at the end of the day, there can be a million people doing what you do. You always end up picking the person that you vibe with or the person that you kind of think, oh, yeah, I'm on a similar frequency as you and I like her vibe, or, yeah, she's a dog mum, I'm a dog mum, and then, like, you know, off you go. Yes. So that's what it's about.
I love everything that you said about that.
Does it make sense?
Oh, 100%. 100%. Very well said.
Well, there you go, people. Permission to humanize your brand.
Yes. Yeah, that's it sometimes, isn't it? Just having permission that you can do it away, because I think, you know, there is so much content out there. There's so many people telling you to do it this way and that way. I think we do get a little bit of caught up in what's the right way to put my picture? Where should I, you know, how many times should I do it a week? And we get stuck in the functionality and just forget to be a human. Like you say, it's hard to put yourself out there.
Yeah, but at
right.
the end of the day.
You're a wealth of, you're a,
sorry.
We had a pause there. I think there's a slight delay. All right, look, you've already given us an amazing business quote that I jotted down, but do you have another one that you can share with us?
Oh, yeah. I love the quote. It's actually Mother Teresa's, like, whole mission was all around love, and she said, do things with great love. And I don't think that it has to be as big as what we always think. You know, serving doesn't always have to mean going and working in orphanages and doing, like, building schools, and that's all amazing and that is great, but we have enormous potential and a human responsibility to be love and give love in all areas of our life, even in the mundane things that we're doing at home, and of course in our business. And when you serve from a place of love in your business, you truly become limitless. No challenge will be too big. No fear will ever be too great. You'll be able to show up, humanize your brand. You'll be able to have breakthrough after breakthrough after breakthrough, because you're not living from a place of just the 3D world. You're not living just from a place of ego. You're serving from a higher place, and there's nothing higher than love. So I always say, put your audience first, get obsessed with your audience, have an abundance mindset where you're giving to your audience, and make sure it's coming from a place of love, and it's inevitable that you will be successful.
Beautifully said. What about a book or a podcast or some kind of resource that you have engaged in recently that you think we must listen or read to?
Oh my gosh. Well, a book that I just can't stop talking about and telling everyone about is Brand Story by Donald Miller. And he actually has a podcast as well. So definitely check out that book, Brand Story. If there's one takeaway from that book, it is about positioning yourself as the guide, and your customer or your client or your audience on Instagram is the hero. Your job is to make them be the hero of the story. So that was a huge thing, and it's had a profound impact on my marketing. I think even that ties in beautifully with that quote, do things with great love. It's not about making yourself be this hero. It's about your people. So, yeah, check that out. It's amazing. He goes through brilliant, you know, copywriting, brand messaging, all of that stuff. I just can't recommend it enough.
I have to second that recommendation. I am a Brand Story graduate and absolutely love the program. Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
I listen to him often.
Yeah.
So go and get that book.
He's just a winner, that man.
For sure. All right, we have spoken about so many great things. We've spoken about functional, clickable things. We've spoken about things of the heart and the mindset. So I really appreciate your time and your expertise. So why don't you tell us, where can people stalk you? Because I know they will.
Yeah, well, please come and stalk, but leave a comment and say, hi, I listened to the Salon Owners Collective podcast, because, you know, then that's a connection point, okay? You and I, we're going to be able to connect. So please come over, comment on any one of my Instagram posts. I'm at Mums with Hustle. And, you know, just introduce yourself or even just drop the little hello emoji and just write Salon Owners Collective podcast. Or send me a DM. I'd love to connect with you on Instagram. And, of course, if you want to listen to my podcast or read any of the blog posts or pick yourself up a free resource to help you with Instagram stories or anything else that I have out there, it's just all lives on my website, mumswithhustle.com. And for the business owners that are really ready to up level how they use Instagram as part of a wider digital marketing strategy, then you kind of want to know about my Social Methods Society. Hopefully at the time you're listening to this, doors could be open, but doors are only ever open for a short amount of time. So head on over to socialmethodsociety.com. That is a month-by-month marketing academy. You stay for as long as you like. You learn with coaching, resources, and, of course, a real kick-ass community. And it would be amazing to see some of your people over there, Larissa.
Fantastic. We shall put those links in the show notes so you can click on them super easy and go and say, hey.
Come and say hey.
Thank you so much for your time. I really, truly do appreciate it and I've loved chatting to you.
Oh, well, thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And that's a wrap. Thanks, Tracy. As I know, Instagram can seem daunting to so many salon owners if they don't have a key intention or strategy in place. And of course, when harnessed correctly, using the power of Instagram can result in turning likes into real bookings. A dream come true, right? Before I sign off, I wanted to give a quick shout out to my youngest listener ever, Sunny. Hey, Sunny. Thanks for listening to my podcast. Now, Sonny is 2 and he listens to my podcast on the way to kindy with his mum as she drives on the way to the salon. And he always says hi to me from the back seat. So today I wanted to say a huge hi back. Sonny, you rock. And I look forward to seeing you on the podcast next week. Ciao for now.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Tune in each week as we reveal the latest insight and advice on what it takes to make your salon a success today. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or visit us online at salonownerscollective.com for answers to your common questions, to follow Larissa and much more. Thanks for listening. See you next time.